Well, let's check volleyball from last night around the area first. In Hawkeye 10 conference play, it was Denison downing Atlantic 3-1 as those two teams split the first two games by identical 25-16 scores. Denison winning the opening match and Atlantic taking game two. Game three went 25-23 in favor of Denison, and the Monarchs closed it out 25-18 in the final contest. Also in Hawkeye 10 play, it was Creston over Shenandoah 3-2. Red Oak sweeping 3 from Clarinda. Glenwood beat Harlan 3-1. It was St. Albert over Glenwood 3-2. St. Albert over Harlan 3 in a row. Lewis Central swept 3 from, I take that back, Lewis Central 3 out of 4 over Kemper Catholic. Also last night at Western Iowa Conference play was AHSTW topping Audubon 3-1. Logan Magnolia 3-1 winner over IKM Manning. Tri-Center took 3 of 4 from Missouri Valley, and Underwood swept 3 from Riverside. From the Rolling Valley Conference, it was Exira EHK over Peyton Sherdan 3 in a row. Bowyer Valley beating Arweva 3-0. Glenn Ralston topping Coon Rapids Bayard 3-0. And West Harrison beat Woodbine 3-1. From the Corner Conference, it was Griswold over Heartland Christian 3-0. East Mills beat Stanton 3-1. Sydney 3-sweep over Fremont Mills. In the Pride of Iowa, Nottoway Valley a winner over Lennox 3-1. Southwest Valley swept 3 from Mount Air in last night's action. In high school cross-country action last night at the Leon Fox Invitational at Perry, on the girls' side, Ballard won the team title as they had 20 points. Winterset was the runner-up with 82. Creston placing third with 95 points in that meet. Creston's Braylon Baker placed third overall in that race last night. Paige Davis of Creston was 11th. Also, on the boys' side, it was Bondurant Farrar winning the team title with 43 points. Newton and Ballard finish off the top three. Denison was fifth, Creston ninth overall in that meet last night. Leo Flores of Denison placed eighth, while Creston's Clayton Stafford was ninth in that meet. The Iowa Association of Track Coaches weekly cross-country rankings out yesterday afternoon. Look like this. In Class 4A boys, Wemoc Gilo of Thomas Jefferson is ranked 13th overall. In Class 3A boys, Craig Allen Becker of Atlantic is ranked 8th in this week's poll. Tyler Putney of Kemper Catholic ranked 28th. In Class 3A girls, Taylor McCready of Atlantic is rated 8th. Braylon Baker of Creston 23rd. Lucy Borkowski of Harlan ranked 30th. In 2A boys, Loudon Foster of West Central Valley is 4th ranked. In 2A girls, Kate Crawford of ACGC is rated 3rd. Ella Waddle of Panorama ranked 5th. Tori Castle of Trainer ranked 14th. Mason Hartley of Clarinda 17th. And Riley Sloss of ACGC ranked 25th in this week's poll. In 1A boys, Josh Bowdler of Nottoway Valley is top rated, with Bennett Heisterkamp of St. Albert ranked 4th. Noah Jorgensen of Sydney 7th. Toby Bauer of Nottoway Valley 25th. And Ben Braheny of Nottoway Valley ranked 29th. 1A girls, Peyton Poggi of Tri-Center top-rated, with Courtney Sporer of Logan Magnolia ranked 3rd. Taylor Sporer of Logan Magnolia is 11th. Grace Slater of Audubon rated 15th, while Ryan Porch of AHSTW is rated 28th in this week's poll. Team rankings show Atlantic number 13 in Class 3A boys. In Class 3A girls, Harlan is number 4, while Glenwood is rated 13th. In Class 2A girls, Panorama is ranked 7th, ACGC is 10th. In 1A boys, Earlham is top rated, with Nottoway Valley number 2, Tri-Center 11th, and St. Albert ranked 12th. In Class 1A girls, Logan Magnolia is top rated, with AHSTW 8th, Nottoway Valley 11th, and Tri-Center rated 13th in this week's poll. Willie Adamas homered and made a sensational relay throw from shortstop Tommy Pham, and also went deep in the wild card. Tampa Bay Rays chased Justin Verlander early and beat the Houston Astros 4-1 to even their AL Division Series at 2 apiece last night. Nick Anderson and 4 other relievers combined on a 5-hitter to beat Verlander, who was pitching on short rest after dominating the wild card Rays in game 1 of the best of 5 series that shifts back to Houston for the decisive 5th game on Thursday. Verlander, whose 8 career ALDS victories are a major league record, yielded 3 runs in the first inning. Adamas homered leading off the 4th to make it 4-0, and the Houston ace didn't make it through the rest of that inning. The Nationals and the Dodgers have had a travel day to go coast-to-coast again ahead of their winner-go-home Game 5 in the National League Division Series. Washington will send 18-game winner Steven Strasburg to the mound against Walker Buehler in a marquee matchup tonight in Los Angeles. The Cardinals and the Braves are off before Wednesday's decisive Game 5 in Atlanta. Yadier Molina rallied St. Louis in Game 4, poking a tying single in the 8th inning and lifting a sacrifice fly to end it in the 10th. After yesterday's travel day, those two will tangle tonight, actually this afternoon, in the decisive Game 5. Cards Braves in Atlanta. We'll have it for you live this afternoon. 3:07 is pregame start time. 4:02 is the scheduled first pitch, and we'll have that decisive game five this afternoon. After finishing a three-game sweep of the Twins with a 5-1 win at Minnesota Monday night, Gleyber Torres and the New York Yankees are waiting to find out whether they'll play Houston or Tampa Bay in the AL Championship Series. That best-of-seven playoff begins Saturday, so the AL East champs get 4 days off to rest up and to prepare. Well, 3 of 4 playoff games failed to sell out Monday, leaving lots of empty seats at Tampa Bay, St. Louis, and Washington. Sub-capacity crowds have become an expectation at Tropicana Field, even in October, but they were more striking elsewhere. The Cardinals, whose fans tout themselves as the best in baseball, hosted the Braves in front of 42,203 supporters. That's about 2,000 fewer than Busch Stadium's listed capacity. Meanwhile, entire sections in the upper deck were nearly empty as Max Scherzer pitched for Washington against the Dodgers. Prior to Monday, the only 2019 postseason games that failed to sell out were NLDS games 1 and 2 at Dodger Stadium. Attendance during the regular season fell 1.7% this year for its fourth straight decline. Also in baseball news, injured New York Yankees center fielder Aaron Hicks feels like he's ready to return to the roster for the AL Championship Series. Hicks has a right elbow flexor strain and last played on August 3rd. He's among a group of players at the Yankees complex in Tampa who are not on the AL Division Series roster. Hicks says he's definitely ready to go out there and play. Iowa football coach Kirk Ferentz says there's no panic as the Hawkeyes get set to host 10th-ranked Penn State. Quarterback Nate Stanley was sacked 8 times, and the offense suffered a number of negative plays last Saturday.
Part of that was our lack of execution, maybe. Part of that's Michigan being a really athletic, aggressive defensive team. But that being said, I mean, we're looking right at the same kind of opponent again this week. Penn State's got great athletes, and they play hard and can be very disruptive, too. So we're just going to have to, hopefully have a little tighter plan maybe and be a little bit tighter with our technique and a little better, more cohesive in our play.
Stanley was picked off 3 times at Michigan, and Ferentz expects his senior quarterback to respond. He says a loss like that will test a player's toughness.
You can't have a glass jaw. I mean, you just can't have a glass jaw in this sport. And really, you can't have a glass jaw on anything that's competitive and hard to do. So, nobody feels good about what happened, certainly, and really nobody feels worse than the people right there on the front. And the secret is, what can you do to move forward? How do you avoid from, having days like that again, that type of deal? So, but it's a team effort. Everybody's got to do a little bit better.
Iowa's defense played well against the Wolverines, but the challenge gets even more difficult this week.
You know, the idea right now is to get back up on our feet and see if we can't build off of that. All that being said, it's going to be tough. This is the best offensive football team we face. So we've got a big challenge defensively right now. And, their guys on defense are every bit as good as the team we saw a week ago.
Ferentz says even with the loss, the Hawkeyes still have all of their goals in front of them. We'll have that game for you Saturday night here on the radio. That's a 6:30 kickoff. Iowa State coach Matt Campbell says the Cyclones had to learn how to handle expectations. After opening with a 2-2 record, the Cyclones rolled to a lopsided win over TCU, and they now prepare to visit West Virginia.
And so it's something that we've just had to work through, and I think that's something that's a new dynamic for us, because I think the majority of our team really lives in that world. And so we've talked a lot about it a lot over the last couple weeks, and I think you see our team starting to understand themselves and understand what allows us to be the best version of us as this team goes.
The Cyclones were picked in the preseason to finish 3rd in the Big 12 race.
And I don't think it even had anything to do with expectations outside of here, as it has to do with expectations that this group of young men have for themselves.
The mobility of quarterback Brock Purdy has jump-started Iowa State's run game. Purdy rushed for 102 yards and a couple of touchdowns in that win over TCU.
He gives us another option in terms of making teams defend the entire field. So, I think that's something that you saw last year him do at times. And, he's certainly been able to do that at times for us and allow us to take advantage of some mismatches in the running game.
Cyclones and the Mountaineers will kick it off at 3 o'clock in Morgantown on Saturday. That's a look at sports this hour, brought to you by McAtee Tire and Service Center, your Goodyear dealer in Atlantic. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.